Hey there, this is Julie from Blended Life. Thank you for taking the time to download this episode of our podcast. I hope you find value in it. The truth is, though, sometimes you need more than a podcast can offer to get unstuck and find peace in your blended family life. The struggle is real. So this is a personal journey I've been on for years, seeking peace in circumstances and with people I can't control. Becoming Heard was born out of this quest. As a certified life and health coach, I am passionate about helping others just like you and me free themselves from chronic upset and chronic crisis mode. Right now, I'm offering Blended Life listeners a one-on-one free breakthrough session with me. This call will give you clarity to see if coaching is right for you. Take advantage of this opportunity now by emailing me at becomingheardnow@gmail.com. I can't wait to connect with you.
Hey everyone, I'm Eric. This is my wife, Julie. We are the Blended Life.
We are the Blended Life, and today we're talking about letting go again. Enjoy.
Welcome back. We're going to jump right into this one, which is...
letting go.
Letting go.
We've done episode on this before.
Let it go. Let it go.
But it's really an important topic because I think when we define success in our blended families, part of success for all of us, I think, is finishing the race, right? Like, are we keeping our family together till the end?
Or are we letting them go at the beginning?
Yeah. But I think to hold on, you have to let go.
Let go of what?
Well, let's all do this. And I'm curious for you. I want our audience, and I'll think about for me. I already know what, because I already know what I'm going to say. But for everyone else, I want you to kind of think about five things, or maybe a couple things, that you are holding on to, whether it's a belief, whether it is an opinion or a judgment, or a comparison. Think of a few things that you are holding on to when it comes to your blended family relationships, whether that's co-parenting, step-parenting, bio-parenting, your marriage. What are a few things that you are holding on tight to that are not serving you well? Because what we know is what we believe is what's going to inform our experience. So the things that we hold on to are going to inform the experience we have in our blended family. And we have so many limiting beliefs, or we are holding on to so much that's not serving us well in our blended family, that is creating a negative experience in our relationships. And so for me, I'll go first so you have more time to think.
Wait, I have to come up with them too?
Can you think of one thing?
To prepare. I'll work on it.
Thank you. So one thing that I have held on to is unforgiveness. Right? It is something in our blended family that I have held on to that affects my experience in it. And how that for me looks is if I hold on to unforgiveness, then it's a very anxious way to live, actually, because I'm always on high alert around this person. I'm thinking the worst of this person. And I have no possibility for things to be different. Like that is the fruit of unforgiveness. We squeeze out possibility that we could have a different experience. And so every time I have to be around this person, right, my heart rate goes up. I am anxious. I am distracted. And I'm not even able to be present sometimes. So holding on to unforgiveness actually takes away my presence in my family. That's how it would affect our family. Specifically. So that's like one of the things I hold on to. Yeah. Something else I've held on to is expectations that are unreasonable or unrealistic.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was thinking and going, because I think in a lot of blended family situations, we have a lot of expectations for our marriage, for our spouses, for our children, for our stepchildren, and
our co-parents, to be honest, too.
For everyone. All of it. The mm-hmm. whole situation is expectations. And at the end of the day, you have taught me this, being the health and life coach that you are for blended families, is that we can only control ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't control those around us. So us having high expectation for those around us now doesn't mean that we can't have, a moral expectation or a boundary expectation, but those we set within ourselves.
Well, and expectations aren't wrong or bad. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right. It is like, are they reasonable? Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Are they ethical? and so you have to kind of, look at that when you're discerning if your expectations are maybe healthy or not.
Yeah, but I think in our situations, we end up with a lot of unreasonable expectations or
unrealistic ones, right?
Yeah, like, or expectations drawn off of other people's circumstances or other family circumstances.
So like you're comparing.
Yeah, yeah. What is it? Keeping up with the Kardashians. There used to be an old phrase for it, but there's no longer that phrase.
You know that Kourtney Kardashian married to Travis Barker, they're a blended family.
I do know that.
And so when I look at how they blended, and because I watch them, of course. Of course. I love reality TV. I love
it. It's so crazy because it's so much drama. I was laying on the couch watching it with you last night. I wasn't actually watching it.
We were watching the Vanderpump Rules.
Dude.
Reunion part one, mm-mm. which is like such a cultural phenomenon mm-mm. right now. Like you don't even know about it, but mm-mm.
I can't. It's yeah. so much drama and there's so much pettiness and there's so much
it wasn't
evil
petty. Like, it's awful.
Baked into it. There's cheating and lying and probably stealing, but it's like,
yeah,
it's everything it's against unreal. What we believe in.
Yeah.
That it's like people, kids, youth, people without a path, people without God in their lives, this could take them down such a road where they're just like, this is life. This is reality. Mm-hmm. This is so much fun and entertainment. Mm-hmm. And it's like, there's so much evil involved in it. And
well, look at the movies that people watch.
No, I'm not talking about movies. I'm talking about the pumpers.
You're talking
insane.
That's a good point though. What we input into our brain.
Yeah.
Like I think South Park's evil.
No, South Park is 100% evil.
You know what I mean?
But there's so much good. It's right? life. There's
so
yeah, but you,
it's,
yeah.
It's a thing. But that's my point is Kourtney and Travis Barker, okay. right? I pay attention because they're a blended family, and okay. it's been really interesting. I mean, what we know about them, I could fit on the head of a pin, right? Mm. Like
I know Travis personally.
Okay, well, they're a blended family. I look at how they blended it, and it just seems so ideal and so perfect. Mm-hmm. And
but it's also a produced TV show that
you're
seeing.
Correct, correct. But it's to your point of like comparison and having expectations. It's like I could easily, because I would want that experience for myself. I watch how it unfolds on the Kardashians or whatever, or what they put out on social media, whatever it is. I see it and I'm like, I want that experience.
We almost had that experience.
I want to be that in love with you. I want you to be that obsessed with me. I want you to take pictures of my feet all the time and suck my time. I'm just kidding. You said it.
I didn't say it. That's why it didn't come on.
No, but you know what I mean?
Like fudge sickle sticks sounds so good right now. It's warm out.
It is so ideal though. And I don't, I'm sure some of that is real. But I'm also like, I want to be relatable.
Yeah.
I want you to be relatable to me because this is not relatable to me whatsoever, what this is being shown. No. Surely it can't be that perfect,
right?
No,
we almost had our own reality TV show. I don't know if you guys know this. We got hit up by a producer to have a blended family TV show. And after carefully thinking it over and actually talking it over with the other parents.
Well, because the catch was the co-parents would have had to been involved.
Yeah.
It wasn't an isolated thing where it was you and me. It was like, we want the shit show.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're
Good
not
call.
About it. We're not about that drama. Like
Good
in
call.
Creating, it would have created a more negative experience for, I think not only for us, but for our children. I think it would have screwed up our children more. I say more.
Yeah, they're fine. We're all messed up. We're all good. So the comparison thing, and then that leads to unrealistic expectations of how our family should look, or unreasonable expectations that we should have a chef cooking dinner in our home every night too.
We should, but instead she's out hanging out with her friends at Bible study. So
so this is a great thing to let go of.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because we hold on to so much. We hold on to judgment. We hold on to expectations. We hold on to unforgiveness. I made an extensive list that I might actually post on our social media. But there's so many things that we need to let go of, because what we're holding on to is controlling us.
Right.
Like, whatever you hold on to is what is going to control you. Think about that. And that is your choice. You can choose to let go. You can choose to let go of unreasonable expectations and unrealistic expectations. You can choose to let go of unforgiveness. Sometimes it just feels really good to hold on to things.
Well, you can help people get through this too, right? Like, you being the health and life coach that you are.
Yes, I can. But people, so yes, and you have to want it.
Yeah. So if this is something you want, Julie, hit her up.
Yeah, becomingher.com.
Tell me a little bit about what you do. Well, because we might have new listeners that have no idea who you are and what you do, and just quickly.
Well, I'm a certified life and health coach, and I help people transform. Because, and so this is really actually interesting.
In blended families, like, you specialize in step parenting.
Yes. And I, you know, this niche was really easy for me because I've been a step child since I was a year old.
Right.
So I grew up in blended families between two homes with parents who hated each other, and having a half sibling who I wasn't raised with, and step siblings. And I grew up in the blended family chaos. And so now I am a stepmom myself. And so, but what I think is so interesting about coaching and what I do is that blended families, even though I grew up in it, being a stepmom, I've never been a stepmom before, right? I've never blended a family. Even though I was part of one, I have never blended a family before myself. I've never co-parented before.
Right.
And so most of us have never done this before. And so we want certain things in our blended families. We want peace. We want success. We want connection. We want all these things in our blended families. And that's what we want. The problem is that to have something you've never had before, you must become someone you've never been before. And it's interesting because, and let me break it down for you this way. The definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. That is our experience in blended family. We're all really well-intentioned, right? We do all the things. We're like, but I'm doing everything I can. I am morning to night. I'm checking off everything, and I'm still not having the experience I want. Well, no shit.
Well, how about people that are doing this in marriage too? They're going on to like their next marriage and their next marriage. And some people are listening and going, man, I keep giving it my all, but it's like your all keeps being the same thing.
Yeah, because to have, and so even when you remarry, you're married to a different individual. Your relationship is going to be different than it was because the variables are not the same anymore. And so to have something you've never had before, you must become someone you've never been before. And that is called transformation. So if you want these things for yourself, you must become the person that you need to be to have the things for yourself. But we just try to get the things staying the same. We want all these things and we want to do it the same. And we want to use our old habits and our old coping skills and our old ways of navigating conflict and our old communication style and our old reactions and our old thought patterns. We want to use all that to get new things for ourselves. And we feel freaking insane because we're good humans, because we're trying so hard, because we want it so much. We care so much. Like, why am I not making forward progress? Because you're not transforming. We were not created to remain the same person we were as an infant, right? Literally, we grow and evolve. Who I am at 80 is going to be different than who I am today, hopefully. I mature, and I'm a little wiser and have learned a whole lot more. And so I think that's why blended families are so hard. It's just we try so hard to, and we get nowhere because we haven't done the transformation work we need to do to have the thing we want to have. And that's what I do. I come alongside my clients in a transformational journey so that they can have the experience they want for themselves and their blended family. And it's just the most rewarding thing I do. And I started coaching couples recently, and that's been, you know, everyone's journey unfolds very differently, but it's been very cool. And I think couples coaching before you get married is so important. So if you're in a situation where you're not married yet, you know, I know there's premarital counseling and all of that, and that's great. Couples coaching, pretty cool. So if you guys are interested in one-on-one coaching, one-on-one coaching is amazing because it's all about you. In what area in life is it ever all about you? You're in a blended family, 0%, right? Even if you're doing things like Bible study, it's not all about you and Bible study. It's all about God. It's all about the community and love. Like there's very rare that you're in a space where life is all about you. And that's what I love about therapy and coaching. For an hour, 90 minutes, it's all about me. So that's the benefit of one-on-one coaching. Couples coaching is amazing. Group coaching's great too for community. So go check out my website, becomingheard.com. If this is piquing your interest at all, you'll learn about me, my coaching process, the programs I offer. It's I'm really proud of the website. Shout out to Mandy Bayman, who with Spot Your Light, who created it for me, turned all my copy into art. She's phenomenal. Mandy, I love you. And so that's what I have to say about what I do. Any questions about that? Or
no, thanks for that quick explanation.
That was not quick.
Hey, one of our listeners said, yeah, just tell mom not to lick toes. She will get mouth STDs.
Is that my daughter?
I'm assuming that's what that note is that is on the door.
Yeah.
Anyways, and then you want to hear something that was kind of amazing because you're talking about how you've always been in a blended family. So I text this picture to your brother the other day, and I said, damn, bro. I said, she doesn't even have a photo of me on her nightstand next to the bed. I said, you must be special. And he says, ha ha, burn that photo. You have a picture of you and your brother.
Yeah.
I
unpacked it from my suitcase because I was visiting him.
You just take it around with you.
I just sat. No, he gave it to me. He didn't want
can
it.
Can people see this? Can you guys see that picture? They can't. It's not in focus. But
I could post it. I'll post it on social media. So I'll post it so you guys can see what we're talking about.
Anyways, it was funny.
No, we were visiting my brother, and he had it, and he's like,
oh, did he?
So my brother, we were at their house for the concert. Yeah. And I see this picture. I'm like, oh, you have a picture of us. And Cindy's like, his mom didn't want it anymore.
She got sick of staring at you.
Because his mom is not my mom.
I know.
Or, you know, so this is like.
But she wanted him to have it.
So she gave it to him. And so, and Dennis is like, take it. He didn't, my brother's name is Dennis. And he's like, he doesn't care. He doesn't.
Yeah, well,
he's not super, he's not sentimental at all. So I'm like, I want this. I have no pictures of my childhood.
Well, I sent it to him because I wanted him to feel special. I think.
Yeah, that came across really well.
Yeah.
So I just, when I was unpacking my suitcase, I just stuck it there. I didn't know where to.
I was thinking about them earlier. I'm like, we need to get with them.
But we do have wedding pictures.
We do?
In our room. Do you not know this?
No, I can't find anything in our room. Anyways, let's get back on topic.
Okay. So what you hold on to will control you. So letting go. And really, I think, there's a lot. I want to talk a lot about that, but I want to say some things that are worthy of letting go of. So I'm just going to ramble a list. And here's what I invite you to do is I ramble that list of things. I want you to write down, if you're listening to this and have a journal or a paper or your phone, you can do it in your notes. I want, if anything sparks, like this is the work, the coaching work, right? So if anything sparks like, I'm definitely holding on to that. Or, yeah, I should let go of that. Don't allow yourself to listen to this podcast and then what you get from it just as a throwaway. Like, actually do something with it.
Don't waste our time, people, please.
So I'm gonna read, and this isn't like all the things you could possibly let go of, right? This is just, and it's extensive, but it's
I'm curious if you guys hear something, or if you don't hear something that's in our list. If you guys are watching this on YouTube, let us know other things besides what we've put on here, what Julie has rambled on. Add some of your things on, because what that might do is spark ideas in other people that are like, oh, I didn't even think about that, and I do that. So what we're trying to do here, what we're trying to accomplish with Blended Life is start conversation in people's homes that you can finish in your own, and just spark up conversation and be community to help others around us that are in blended families, that struggle in blended families, or find them complicated, or find them fascinating, or are just a part of them. So if you guys can be a part of that conversation, it's crazy the amount of people that you will meet in blended families, you know, even just through our platform. I mean, Julie has come up with some of her best friends. The lady Mandy who built her website is literally because of this, you know, is because of this type of stuff. So it's, you know, some of your better friends, Brooke's one of your best friends that you literally met because of our podcast. So it's neat. So building the things community that can come with it. So if you guys get involved with it, find us on Facebook, find us on social media, Instagram. You have a Twitter for it, as well as your own business, Becoming Heard. So look for us on there, become involved with us. We are normal, real people just like you guys. So feel free to write in, start conversation, and we will have conversation with you. So
yeah, I've had clients become really good friends too.
I know.
So it's really neat. Yeah. Okay. So things you can let go of in your blended family. Man, anything you can't control.
Everything.
If you can't control it, why are you holding on to
it? My kids.
lies that you tell yourself. You know, these are also called limiting beliefs. And so lies we tell ourselves, man, if you're telling yourself lies that you can't do something, or somebody's all bad, or they're out to get you, you don't know somebody else's heart and head, you know? So lies that you tell yourself, let go of. Trying to be something you're not. That's something we do in blended families, right?
Says little Miss Kardashian over here.
I'm definitely not. I wish, but not. Jealousy. I think this is a really big struggle in blended families, and or envy, right? Both. Like, we compare and we get jealous. Or for me, I have been jealous of my kids' other home and the relationships that they have with people in their other home.
Well, social media does this to people too. I see a lot of envy, especially in our youth. You know, kids try to compare themselves and try to live up to themselves. And, you know, just simple things where it's like, well, how come they get to do this? How come they're like this? Why don't I get that? It's like, man.
Jealousy between steps.
Yeah,
too.
But look around. Look at how great your family is right now. Yeah. Look how great your parents are, your siblings are, or in our case, you know, our spouses. Look how great your spouse is.
You're so great.
Thanks.
Insecurity. Let go of insecurities. They are not attractive. People don't want to be around it. It doesn't serve you well. It doesn't serve your family well.
Yeah, but on the flip side of that, don't think that you're greater than you are. Don't walk around greater than everyone else.
Let go of your ego a little bit.
Let go of the ego, you know? That's like a good live one. Live in the between.
Look at you contributing.
Woo.
That's a good one, actually. So let go of unforgiveness. That was something I talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Let go of bitterness and resentment. You know, the fruit of bitterness and resentment are broken relationships. So let go of it.
A lot of people deal with that with their exes, you know, and hold on to that. And it's like, okay, that relationship is gone. If you're listening to this, you're probably in a blended family now, which means that that previous relationship is over. It's no longer a relationship, right? So let go of the relationship piece of it. You know, there's a lot of times that we still have to deal with our exes because of the mutual lives that we deal with. And that's okay, but keep it about that. Keep it about those mutual lives. Keep it about our children. And if we keep it about our children and we let go of those past relationships.
Let go of the marriage, hold on to the parenting.
Yeah, a lot of the things that you just mentioned, the resentment, the
bitterness, unforgiveness. Bitterness,
there's jealousy, mm-hmm. whatever it might be. There's hurt. There's so many things. If we can let go of those past relationships and live in the now and be present and be happy about where we're at now, it'll help everything.
Yep. The need to control everything. We have such a need to control to create safety for ourselves. Right. But the more you control, it backfires, doesn't it?
Right.
Yeah. Ideals and expectations. We kind of talked about this earlier. So that's something that you definitely can let go of, expectations that are unreasonable and unrealistic specifically. Let go of trying to fix other people. You know, your husband, your wife, your children, your stepchildren, your co-parent are not projects. Okay. And I see this a lot in blended families.
They're more sponges than they are projects. Start leading by example.
Yeah. So good. But needing this idea of fixing others, or I'm going to fix them, let go of that. Negativity. We're so focused on what's not going well. We're so focused on what's wrong, what we don't like, what we don't want. And it's a really negative lens that we see everyone with. And if you can let go of that negative lens, if you can let go of negativity, your life experience and your blended family will be wonderful. And what do you replace it with? Gratitude, appreciation. Specifically, I want to help people let go of that and attach to something else. Let go of comparison. We talked about that a little bit. Let go of competing for attention. And it isn't just kids that do this. Spouses do this too.
Yeah, the dog loves licking toes too.
But spouses do this, right? Like they get jealous that their stepchild's getting all the attention. And so now we're competing with our stepchildren for attention. And so let go of competition for attention in your home. Let go of fairness. We've talked a lot about this. You can go listen to past episodes. I think one is named Fairness.
We probably talked about this around like Christmas time or something. That's really
let go of fairness.
Yeah, that's really a time where it's like that can creep up on you because it's like, oh, I have to spend the exact same amount on each kid, and I got to have the exact same amount of presents for each kid. And before you know, it's like all these kids are so different and have different wants and different needs. And that's a big place that you can get caught up in. So
yeah. And also like fairness. I mean, kids have two different sets of parents with two different sets of rules. Like there is nothing fair. Let go of perfection, let go of judgment. Judgment breaks connection. And this is something that we work on a lot in my coaching business, in my practice. So what we know about judgment is if you're judging someone else, you've broken connection. And when someone else feels judged by you, connection is broken. And good luck making forward movement or progress in any relationship, never mind a family, if judgment's involved. So let go of it. Let go of hate. Let go of people-pleasing. My goodness, people-pleasing. Let go. You can't please everyone. You know, let go of bait, right? We get baited a lot. That was my last one. There's so many more that we can say, but that's kind of like, you know, put the hook down, let go of bait. Maybe you don't even bring the fishing pole.
We're fishing with rocks today, people.
Yeah, but, you know, so those are some things I feel like if you can let go of some of those things one at a time, not all at once, that doesn't work either. Pick one thing. Like if you wrote something down, work on just being intentionally mindful of letting go of that second by second, minute by minute, day by day, week by week. And letting go is a practice. It doesn't just happen because you want it to. It's a mindset shift, right? So you actually have to want to let go first. And then in the moment, you're like, and I'm letting that go. Right?
Yeah. And you'll find yourself slipping on things. And at least it's a mindset to where you start changing. You're like, oh, I'm starting to worry about that again. It doesn't matter. I'm going to let that go.
Yeah. This idea of letting go, I wanted to talk about what it means to let go. And so we talked about that just a second ago about like actively mindfully saying I'm making the decision, making the choice to let go in your mind. Okay. Let go can also look like acceptance, accepting what you can't change, right? I'm letting go of the need to change. I'm finding acceptance. And that's a really cool thing, because where acceptance is, there's peace.
Hmm.
And, you know, I'm in this Bible study right now called Armor of God.
Yeah.
And one of the pieces of armor are the gospel shoes of peace. And it's interesting because the Bible says that gratitude activates peace.
Right.
Like, how you practically find peace is the first thing is that you trust God. Right?
Right.
And then you have gratitude, and that gratitude activates peace.
Yeah, because that gratitude is a mind shift. That gratitude puts your mind on the opposite side of the coin, if you will.
Yeah. So I just thought I'd share that here. Another thing, a way to let go is to detach. Mm. What are your thoughts? Because people have
the umbilical cord.
Detachment. I think it's a wonderful thing. Do you think it's a wonderful thing?
Yeah. What do you got going?
Well, I want to read a great saying, and I forgot where I heard it. I think, where did I hear this? I forgot where I heard it.
We'll
probably on
Sesame
a podcast
Street.
Somewhere. So there's this saying, I guess. I don't, it's not my quote, so I take no credit for this. But detachment doesn't mean you own nothing. It means that nothing owns you. So a lot of people feel like detachment means, well, I just don't care. Like, I'm detaching from something. I'm pulling away. I don't care.
Yeah, you're burying your head in the sand.
Yeah, like detaching from something seems very careless. And so I want to offer a reframe of that. That doesn't mean you don't care. It just means you're not allowing that thing to have power over you anymore. You can be detached and care. It's just you're not giving a line of power from that thing to you anymore.
Was this part of the conversation from your other coaches about no F's given and...
It could have been.
Yeah.
Very well.
What was the difference? The no F's given and... No. The difference
are
between...
Are we cussing on this podcast?
No, you always cuss on the podcast. We're not going to.
Yeah, no, my dear friends... Well, and coaches Carrie Morin and Lisa Callahan have a coaching podcast. Go check it out. It's called The Things We Know. I hope I said that right. And they talk about just things they know at their age. And it's for specifically they're targeting women in their 40s, 50s, 60s and beyond. And just things that they know now. And it's interesting because they did a podcast episode, something about, don't quote me on the title, but like no F's left to give. And they're talking about the difference between giving no shits and like giving no fucks.
There we are. That was the one. Well, we weren't going to say it.
Oh, well, we did. So
you
people
said it anyways.
Yeah. So it's a good podcast. It's interesting. It is about caring and not caring, though, the difference. And
how to decipher between the two.
So that's very much could be where I got it from.
Yeah.
I've been doing a lot of trainings lately, so I have a lot of input of information. But I like that definition of detachment. I think detachment is a useful tool when you're trying to let go. You know, in detachment, let go just seems like a free fall. But really, detachment means the thing still exists. You're just backing away from it, the orbit of it. It's a great thing for co-parenting.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, anyway. And letting go means freeing yourself from that which no longer serves you.
You know? At that point, it just becomes an anchor. It's weighing you down. It's dragging you down. It's pulling you backwards.
Yeah, let go. Let go of limiting beliefs and be free from them, right? Open up possibility that you could have a different experience in your blended family. It does not have to be the one you're having now. And if you're having it, you're in charge of it, which is the best news because you can change it. How to let go practically. Let me ask you, in our family, can you think of anything you've had to let go of to be okay in our family?
Yeah. I mean, you have to, at some point in time, you have to kind of let go of trying to control what the family looks like, what the family dynamics are,
mm-hmm.
And just let them be. And as I've done this, and I did this quite a while ago, it's interesting just to see what it ends up to be. Is it good? Not necessarily is it bad, not necessarily. It's just, it is what it is. And I think if we don't try to actually control our dynamics and get our kids to fit in certain boxes, or our kids to...
their relationships even to fit into a box.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. All of it, you know, if, you know, I don't necessarily need my child to look and act and be a certain way, or my stepchildren to look and act and be a certain way, because a lot of that is just self-serving motive, you know. And if we aren't driving our kids to be a certain way, now again, let me go back to what I said a little while ago. We set examples. We live by examples, and our kids learn from us. And just because they aren't who we expect them to be right now or at this point doesn't mean that they won't still learn and grow up to be who we hope they will be. And I'm probably a perfect example of that. I can tell you at, you know, let's just use, because she's here, let's use your daughter as an example. You know, when I was her age, I was wearing big baggy pants. You know, I had skates on constantly. I had spiky hair. You know, I was running around with my friends around town, skating, jumping on handrails, jumping off roofs. You know, not really caring about anything. I loved to film at that age. Skating and filming and punk rock music was life. You know, that's all that mattered. Nothing else mattered. But look where I am, you know, 25, 30 years later, and I'm probably a lot more of a closer image to what my parents had hoped for me than what I would have been at 13 years old, you know? So my parents continued on to be status quo and setting examples, and didn't change their lives, didn't outcast me, didn't push me away because I wasn't where I wanted where they didn't want me to be. I mean, I think in eighth grade, I probably just for fun, like, would paint fingernails, you know, because we were just little punk rock kids and that was a fun thing to do. A lot of my friends had bleached hair. I wasn't ever a bleached hair kid, but, you know, dye your hair a fun color, you know, green was kind of the color back then. And that was the group of kids that I ran with, you know, some of them, you know, better examples of model citizens than others, you know, others still are a shit show to this day. You know, I just saw some kids that I haven't seen in, you know, over 20 years, a few weeks back. And I'm like, man, you guys didn't get much better, but you're still alive, which is like by the grace of God, you know. But my parents let me grow up being who I was going to be, always trying to set good examples. And it wasn't them forcing me or molding me into who they wanted me to be. It was them setting the examples. And, you know, I think I turned out decent.
I fell in love with you a little bit more just now. That's because I always see us as so different when it comes to parenting. Mm-hmm. Until like this moment right here, we align 10,000%. This is a special moment. If you're hearing this for this is like the first time I've heard this. This is the first time I'm feeling this. This is a really special moment for me.
Well, like
it like touches my heart in a wow. I'm getting emotional. I love that.
She's crying, you guys. Oh my gosh. Let's zoom in on her her camera angle.
You can't.
I can post-production the hell out of this.
That's really beautiful. I agree. I mean, you have to let your kids be who they are, and forcing them into a box, it's my heart for, you know, this is my heart, especially for both the kids, all of our kids. Like, yeah. We, you know, it is.
No, but it means that you don't give up on them. It means that you don't force them to be different than who they are, who they're becoming, right? Mm-hmm. It means that you just continue to set examples. And doesn't mean that you just let go of them. It means that you really just help guide them. You help show them and talk to them right from wrong. I mean, mm-hmm. My son, for instance, at this stage in life, probably isn't exactly where I hoped he would be in one way or another, but he's exactly where he needs to be.
And all parents raised their hands when you said that.
Yeah.
All of our kids probably aren't where we would hope they would be in every aspect, right? Like that's a universal truth.
No, and that's always the thing is, it's because we always want the best for our kids. We always hope the best for our kids at this point in life. We're like, man, I hope these kids are just superstars, just absolutely killing life and just the 100 times better than I ever was where I was at that age. And, you know, when I look back and I'm like, man, when I was 16 years old, like, my kid's way more advanced than me. My kid is way better than I was, you know, like, so I guess he is where I want him to be.
Mm.
Right?
Let go of your ideals.
Yeah, they still have to learn, you know.
Well, it's interesting because as you're talking, I'm like, I wrote down another let go. And what I hear, the word status quo, with when you were describing your parents, it's interesting because something that we need to really let go of is inconsistency.
Right.
The inconsistency of the highs and lows we create, the inconsistency of discipline or expectations change a lot. And, you know, I think when we are consistent, consistency is going to be your superpower in any area of life. Like, if you want to be successful, you have to be consistent in your work ethic and in like moving forward. Like, I'm consistently one foot in front of the other, right? I'm not stopping. I'm not getting stuck. And that's like business, right? You have to consistently pivot. You have to consistently, anyway, but in your blended family, consistency is a superpower because everyone feels safe. If you're consistent, whether people agree with, I was having this conversation with a client today, whether kids like it or not, if you're consistent, it's safe. If you're consistent with your discipline, when you're consistent with rules and you're consistent, like, because what happens a lot of times with kids in blended families is bio parents have guilt or they feel like, I don't know, they feel things. And so, you know, sometimes this is an issue and other times it's not an issue and I'm going to let it slide this time, but then I'm not going to let it slide this time, or it's okay for you to dye your hair today, but next week it's not okay for you to dye your hair. And I'm going to get you in trouble today for this, but, you know, not tomorrow for that. It's like all this inconsistency makes kids very anxious and it feels very unsafe. Same in marriage. I mean, all married people raise their hands right now. When your spouse is inconsistent, it's an anxious feeling. You don't know what to expect. You don't know if they're coming or going. You don't know if what you say is going to create a fight or not. And so, consistency, man, it's really important. But I think what you're saying about your parents is they were consistently themselves. They consistently provided an example to follow, and they were consistent in the example. Knowing your parents, they were consistent in the example they set.
Right.
And that kind of gave you the safety to grow into who you are now.
Yeah, well, and it also, you know, without really knowing it in hindsight, like, it really allowed me to grow into who they kind of wanted me to be. You know, because mm-hmm. with that consistency came boundaries.
Yeah.
And even though my boundaries look different than, say, my friend's boundaries, they were boundaries set by my parents, and the consistency of those boundaries allowed me to grow within the boundaries.
Yeah, that's really good. I hope all parents took note. Why is it important to let go of things? Like, why is it important to have a good, healthy let-go practice?
Because, again, if you don't let go of something, it becomes an anchor. It drags you down, or it holds you in place, if you will.
Yeah, and you get stuck there.
Yeah, and if you don't ever leave because the anchor is keeping you in place, then you will never grow. And by growing, for the sake of example, you go up, you mm-hmm. know? And if you are always stuck at the same level, mm-hmm. then you're never going up. Then you're never going to grow.
Yeah. And when I think about blended family life, it's so fluid. There are so many variables that are shifting all the time, right? Like, don't you feel that way? It's so fluid. Yeah. It's ever, like, changing.
Yeah. Which makes it very hard for boundaries. It makes it very hard for consistency, you know? And I think that's where a lot of people struggle in their blended families. But if you create a boundary that is big enough or clean enough for a blended family, and you then tie that into morals, it might need to pivot and shift a little bit. Mm-hmm. But if it still stays within a boundary, within a moral boundary, you're usually going to be good. And that's something that I have learned. I've really learned this over the last couple of years as, you know, my son has become a teenager and driving. And it's like, nah, I can pivot and shift a little bit, but there's some things that, as long as it stays within a moral boundary and I stay pretty consistent on things, it helps him, and it helps him feel safe, and it helps him see those boundaries, you know, and understand those boundaries.
Yeah, that's really good. In coaching, we do boundary work a lot, and we think of boundaries as bendable. You know what I mean? Gumby. Like, it's not, because, and to what we were talking about earlier, you know, blended families are fluid. There are so many variables. Circumstances and situations change often. And so having a healthy let go practice in place allows you to bend so you don't break. Like, if you're holding on to everything so tightly, it's very a rigid place to live. And what we know about rigidity is if you're going to break, because there's so right. many things that are pulling and altering, you know, it's like having a stick and throwing a baseball at it at 100 miles an hour, that stick is going to break.
Right.
And so you have to be able to let go so you don't break. You have to for your well-being. So you, breaking means so you don't leave your family. So you don't divorce. So you don't give up. And I think, too, a healthy let-go practice really does allow you to change your experience in your blended family.
Right.
Which puts you in control, and it's powerful because you totally can change. If you don't like the experience you're having, it can change. Reach out. Let's do it. Anything else you want to add to that? I have one more thing I want to talk about, but
let's hear it.
It was interesting. I looked this up, and I was like, how I wanted to give five stages of letting go. And so what I realized when I was researching, like, the five stages of letting go, it really does parallel the five stages of grief, which I found really interesting. Yeah. So I thought that would be useful just to go over that, because letting go, again, it doesn't happen because you want it to. I mean, you have to want to, but letting go is a process, and the more you practice it, the more you become better at it, and the less time it takes, right? The first let go you have, and that is grief, right? Like, usually we've lost someone, and we have to let them go, and you're forced to because they're not here anymore, and that's, you know, a forced let go is hard, which is why grief takes so long. So the five stages of letting go, which is also the five stages of grief. The first is denial, right? We are in denial that anything's wrong. Like, I think we know logically we have to let go, but we're like in denial about it. Hmm. And what that does, actually, the denial is really a useful thing. It gives your heart time to adjust to a new reality. Denial gives your heart time to adjust to a new reality. And that's really an important step. The second step is anger, right? The second stage of letting go, or second stage of grief, is anger. We're mad that we have to. I shouldn't have to. They shouldn't have passed away. It was too, I'm mad that I lost them, right? Like, I have to die to myself. F that, right? We go through anger, and that's totally normal. And then we get to the bargaining stage. The bargaining stage of it all, of like, I'm going to try to what if my way out of this. What if I held on? What if I did this instead? You know, temptation to escape parts of it. Like, that's it's a normal, natural thing. And so the fourth stage of letting go is depression, right? It's this, we come to terms with the reality of the let go. Like, we've gone through all the other stages, and we're like, okay, no, I've exhausted all of my what ifs. And really, this is my options. This is what I must do. I must let go of this. I must lay this down. And I will talk about this with unforgiveness as an example. Holding on to unforgiveness, for me, feels powerful. It feels righteous. It feels like I'm in control. It feels protective. And so I really enjoy unforgiveness, if I'm being honest. I totally admitted this to my Bible study last night. I enjoy it. It feels good. And there's no judgment around. I mean, you know, it's not for everyone. It's for me. I'm not wired to forgive. That really takes divine intervention for me.
But it's the way that you were raised.
Yeah, true story. It's ingrained deep. So
again, setting examples for our kids.
Right. And so what I know is, though, I must, right? It's commanded. The fruit, and I've tasted fruit of forgiveness, and it is much, it's so superior to unforgiveness, right? Like the freedom from forgiveness is everything. The relationships that can happen, the opportunity that comes from it, the release, it's such a beautiful thing, forgiveness. And so, but it is that point of like, I have to forgive someone and I don't want to. And then it's like that depression of like, okay, laying this down feels a little sad. Is that weird?
No, it's part of it. I mean, it's our God-given emotions.
It's coming to terms. Anyway, and then the last stage is acceptance, right? And we talked about this. So this is ultimately when you let go, you accept reality or accept what is, and you're not holding on anymore. You're accepting, and that's where peace is. And acceptance is where this is where reality sets in. And we're like, okay, let's do this. And I just wanted to share this because letting go isn't easy. You know, I can come on here all day and preach letting go and why you should do it. And I just really wanted to be real for a minute that it's not easy. It's a practice. It takes effort. It takes intentionality. It can take coaching. It can take support. It can take community. It can take accountability. It can take a thing. It can take a lot of things. But again, the reward of letting go is a changed life experience that is for you, for your good, for your well-being, so that you keep your family together.
If you guys want more of this, becomingheard.com, this is really what you help people. I mean, you guys are hearing her talk right here in the flesh. But this is really what you help people discover and work through and understand. Like, you have it figured out. You have a way. You're not just like, hey, let's have a quick chat. Like, you are literally certified in all of this. You've gone through all the schooling.
Yeah.
And it's a passion of yours. It's not just something that you're like, hey, I need to make a couple dollars. You're like, this is a passion of mine. I'm really good at it. Yeah. And I know you're really good at it. And so if you guys have any inclination that you're like, man, I need to change today, and I don't think I can do it on my own, let Julie come alongside of you and help you, because I know she can do this.
Yeah. One last let go.
You guys can do this.
That you guys can do this. One last let go is sometimes we have to let go of what we thought we were going to have. We have to let go of what we thought we were going to have to be okay and stay. Like, I think that's hard, right? Like, that's a hard one, but we can do it because we ultimately want to keep our families together.
Right.
And find peace and happiness here. The grass isn't always greener.
No, a lot of people think it is.
Yeah, you trade. My mom always said, my mom's been married 3 times, like me. And she always would tell me about relationships. She's like, Julie, you just trade one set of problems for another. Everyone's got their stuff. Everyone's got their issues. Everyone's got their baggage. So you just got to find someone that you can be okay with what they got.
Or train them.
I don't think that's okay. Anyway, and done. And scene, podcast over.
I'm gonna get a shirt that says in training, trainee. Anyways, one more thing that we have to do is let go. Bye, you guys. We're letting go.
Bye.
All right. If you guys enjoyed this, again, if you find yourself looking, you know, needing help, wanting to better yourself, better your family, better your future, find Julie at becomingheard.com, or just send her a straight email, becomingheardnow@gmail.com. Find us on all the socials, Facebook. We have a cool Facebook group that you can become a part of. Join that. Find us on Instagram. Find us on the Twit. Look for us all over the place. So we just hope to join and join community with you guys, and just appreciate you guys for being here. So thanks for being here, and we'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye. Hey, it's Julie again. I hope this episode of Blended Life started a conversation that you will finish in your home. But I get it, right? Sometimes you need more. My offer still stands. If I can interest you in a free one-on-one breakthrough session with me to see if coaching is right for you, contact me now at becomingheardnow@gmail.com, and let's get you unstuck. becominghardnow@gmail.com. I look forward to it.